Has it happened somewhere else in the cosmos? Is it possible that there are hundreds of thousands of other civilizations out there, and maybe some of them have reached this point? Maybe some of them are where we are right now. What do you think? What do you think about this? Well, 1961, Carl Sagan and astronomer Frank Drake asked precisely the same question. They said, if we are not the only ones to have reached this point in our technology, then the question is, why don't we see abundant evidence of these advanced civilizations everywhere? Why don't we see it in our backyard? Why don't we see evidence of their signals flying through space? Why don't we intercept them all the time? And they put together a series of equations to try to determine how many other civilizations there may be out there in the universe. And they came up with a number of at least 10,000 highly advanced civilizations that should exist based on the number of stars and the number of planets and the number of galaxies that were believed to be in existence in 1961. The conclusion from Dr. Sagan and Dr. Drake to answer their question is, why don't we see the evidence of these other civilizations? The conclusion, they came up with two possible answers. They said either we don't see them because we are, in fact, one of the first technological civilizations to have ever emerged. And with what we know now, that doesn't seem very likely. It seems that there probably have been others in the past. And that makes the second possibility perhaps even more frightening. He says, if we're not one of the first, maybe it's the fate of civilizations to destroy themselves when they reach this point, before they're much further along. Maybe they don't survive the learning curve. Well, these are certainly worthy of our consideration because of where we find ourselves in our world today. For one half of the nations of the earth are engaged in warfare of some kind, armed warfare right now. And we are on the brink of developing an entire new arsenal of weapons that transcend any weapons that we've ever used in the past and our willingness to use them in the past. So what we have to say right now is that our ability to become greater than our differences, our willingness to solve our problems peacefully now, is become a strategic asset to our survival, as well as a time-honored philosophy that we can talk about around the dinner table in our living rooms. A strategic asset. Albert Einstein made a statement once. I know many people have used this. I love this statement. And what he said was simply this. He said, the significant problems that we face today cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. We've got problems in our world today. We've got to think differently beyond the foundation that led to those problems to get beyond where they've carried us, to survive our technological adolescence. We've got to find a way to transcend our differences. So the question is, how do we change the patterns of war and disease and suffering that dominated so much of the last 100 years? Those frightening statistics that I shared only moments ago. And the answer appears obvious. If we want to change that pattern, we've got to change the thinking that underlies the pattern. We need a reason. We need a reason to think and to act differently in our lives. What I know is in the last 5 years, I've had the opportunity to be on every continent of this earth, with the exception of Antarctica. I haven't, haven't done any programs in Antarctica yet. And I've had the opportunity to speak to the people of those continents. I haven't been in every nation, but I've been in every continent, neither directly or through translators. What I know is this. I know that the people of this world are ready for peace. They're asking for two questions, the answers to two questions. They're asking, what's happened in our world? Why does the world seem so different now, number one? And number two, they're asking, what can we do to make it better? How do we change this path that it appears that we're on? How do we recognize that we're a family, that we need one another, that we care for one another, and that together we can all achieve so much more than we can by bickering over our differences? We need a reason to think and act differently. Well, it's within this context that we're going to speak about a message in ourselves. The discovery of a literal text message in the cells of all life now gives entirely new meaning to our time in history. Earlier, I asked a question. I said, what would it mean to find the actual words of an ancient message written as the DNA of each cell of every life? And I'm going to make it more specific. What would it mean to you? Ask yourself this question. What would it mean to you if you found that within every cell of your body, since the time you were born and all those that have come before you, carry an entire library of information, including the clues to understand who you are and where you come from in the past. What's that mean to you? It's interesting. When I've asked this in some of our foreign audiences, there's a silence in the room. They get very serious and they say, well, it would depend on what the message says. And I think that is such an interesting response because we haven't even talked about what the message says yet. I'm asking a question, what would it mean to find that we are so the product of an intentional species that we actually have that message in our bodies? What does that mean to you? Let's take it one step further. Even if we don't know what the message says, at the very least, we know it tells us we're here on purpose. If there's a code in our bodies, then someone or something has placed that code there. It says that we are here on purpose. We're an intentional species. Number two, it says that we're part of one another in all life that has the same message. And number three, because the force, the power that has created this message existed before we arrived in this world, it says we're undeniably linked to something even greater, perhaps even greater than we've ever imagined in the past. Now, let's take our question one step further. What would it mean to discover that the message inside the cells of your body includes a signature? And what if that signature matched the name of the creator found in 2,200-year-old scrolls? What if the signature in our cells contains the ancient name of God? What does that mean to you? Because this is precisely what the 12-year study has revealed. A powerful message that includes God's name is, in fact, coded in every cell of every life. It doesn't tell us who God is or where God comes from. It simply says that the name of God that we find in our most ancient and cherished root traditions is also a part of life itself. Well, the implications are absolutely staggering. With the discovery of an intelligent message in ourselves, we now must reconsider our origins, our capabilities, our relationship to the world, how we heal, how we make peace, the way we relate to one another. Just think of what this discovery, what such a discovery may mean to theories of evolution, biology, genetics, theology. Well, I'm going to acknowledge all those, and as important as all of those possibilities are, from my personal perspective, they pale in comparison to the implications of healing and peace that can come from such a message. Until we find a way to become greater than the differences that are leading to the wars and the destruction of one another, those other things, to me, they're on the back burner. The implications of healing and peace must come first in our world so that we can come together and transcend the great challenges of this time in history. Because the message in our DNA is so universal, it gives us a place to begin when we think that our differences are insurmountable. When we look at one another across the bargaining tables or across the kitchen table, the dining room table, and we find ourselves entrenched in what we believe are our differences that are so great that there's no common ground, we can always come back to this place and say there is a common ground because every one of us carries the same message, including the ancient name of God in ourselves, and it gives us a place to begin. Historically, we seem to be at our very best in times where we're challenged the most. When something that we all share brings us together as part of a greater experience. Sometimes those are natural disasters. They've been the catalyst for cooperation in times of crisis. And we certainly saw this happening in times like 9/11 or the tsunami that happened in Asia. Well, my question is this. Is there a way for us to come together in that kind of cooperation without having the disaster as the catalyst that brings us together? Could a message from the day of our origins, a message from God, be the catalyst?